the Butcher. Ow! Man, it just yeah, absolutely rocks me out, man. Hey, Jared, we got a special guest on, and who is this guest? I'm excited.
We've got Rusty Cooley. Oh, man, how you doing, Rusty?
Hey, man, I am doing great. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic now, man.
Sweet.
Rocking out.
So what's been going on here lately with you, Rusty?
Well, actually, a lot of stuff, man. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Derek Sherinian. I'm sure you guys have heard of him, keyboard legend. He's mm-hmm. played with Dream Theater, Kiss, Alice Cooper, Billy Idol, Malmsteen, name it. And I got in touch with Derek last year, and we wrote a song together called Frozen by Fire that's on his newest solo album, Molecular Hanos V. And actually, it's going to actually turn into a band. We are trying to put together a band and looking for a singer, real heavy, aggressive singer. We want somebody that kind of Hetfield meets Meshuggah kind of thing.
Cool.
And,
sweet.
Yeah, dude, so we're writing some songs and trying to find the right singer. And I'm also getting ready to start working on my next solo record, so another guitar instrumental record's brewing. And doing some more instructional DVDs. I'll be going back up to New York probably in August to do my next DVD series, Arpeggio Madness. And got some guitar clinics coming up. I'm going to be doing one at GIT, which is going to be really cool. That's a big music school out in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really cool school, man. I would have given anything to go into a GIT when I was a kid. So to be asked to go back now and give a clinic is pretty cool for me.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, you know, just keeping busy with that kind of stuff. I'm also now co-owner of a music school here in the Woodlands, which is on the north side of Houston. So that's pretty hip, too. And just kind of keeping busy with all that stuff, a bunch of music-related stuff, you know.
Absolutely. I tell you what, arpeggios, man, what can I say?
Yeah, dude. Can't live without them.
And the sweep technique, you got to have that, I tell you what.
You know it, brother. It's all part of the shred arsenal. The shred bag of goodies.
Hey, let me ask you another question before I pass you on to the others real quick. What's the worst interview question you've ever been asked?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe we'll find one tonight.
We'll try really hard.
We'll work it for you.
Yeah. See what you guys can come up with. We'll top them all, dude.
Jared's going to give it to you next. Aren't you, Jared?
That's probably right.
Oh, man. That's too funny.
No, that is awesome. Hey, Jared, go ahead.
Well, actually, major kudos to you for all the instruction you give to aspiring guitarists.
Hey, man, and, thank you.
I was curious. You've been doing this for a while now, and I was curious if the new aspiring guitarists, if there's anything better or worse about them than, say, back when you were getting started. How big of a contrast is there?
Well, I think the difference between now and then is that you got to understand the 90s, man, was one of the darkest periods for guitar players ever. Mm-hmm. Because we went through a whole generation of music without guitar solos at all. And it was the generation of, you know, just non-musicianship. It was a period where if you played solos, dude, you just were not cool. You know? And in what profession do people strive to not excel? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I mean, if you watch sports or anything, you're always rooting for the badass, right? You're not rooting for the guys that suck, right? And that's kind of what that whole generation was about, you know? If you're good at your instrument or strive to learn anything, mm-hmm. you know, that's just a bad thing. And I know that's not the actual question. I'm getting to that, so I'm meandering around it. But this was when I was a kid, everybody played lead guitar. It's just, that was part of rock and roll, man.
And that was
guitar
cool.
Rock and roll and heavy metal without solos, that's like sacrilege.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference was, when I was learning, we were coming, you know, I started playing like in 83, because I'm an old guy, and we were coming out of the late 70s with Van Halen and Randy Rhoads, and then that whole L.A. L.A. scene of hot guitar slingers, man. Warren DeMartini, Jakey Lee, Lynch, right? So everybody was a badass, you know. So that was just part of what was expected. Now, nowadays, you're getting these kids that are coming out of a generation of not even knowing what a guitar solo is.
It's true.
Right? So there's a big difference. These guys are just now discovering what guys were doing in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s. So that's kind of the difference. Whereas when I was growing, whereas kids now are coming out of that generation, not, you know, whoa, this is soloing that never existed prior to their generation. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think that's the big difference.
Well, and, you know, that's why also I've been really thrilled to see that there's been more solos coming back. It seems like the old school styles are starting to make a big comeback just here lately in these past few years.
Yeah, and it's funny, man, because now, I mean, it's getting to the point where I can get kids to listen to stuff that I couldn't get them to listen to before. It's like they're getting it now. But they're only getting it now because it's becoming more acceptable. That's the bad side of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be able to appreciate killer playing no matter what the current trend is. That should never be what you base your decision on. You know? Not
what's
cool now.
That's what I love about that quote you have on your website. It says, "Remember to live, eat, sleep, and breathe music for the mind. Play from your heart and never be swayed by the current trends."
So exactly, right, man. Dude, music is what you dig. It's, don't be afraid to like something because your friends might not like it, or it's not cool, man. Dude, that's not what it's about.
It's expression of yourself. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, man. You got to be true to yourself and do what you do because that's what you do.
I got a question going off of his question.
Sure.
Do you find that, you know, as being a teacher of you know, younger generation, do you find you learn from them as well as teaching? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. It was several of my students about 6 or 7 years ago that actually turned me on to the heavy music that I listen to now. I had some guys turn me on to, some students turn me on to bands like Arch Enemy and Soil Work and some Children of Bodom stuff and Meshuggah and things that I wasn't listening to. I just wasn't aware of it. Mm-hmm. And certainly, man, absolutely. So it's a good thing. You know, I always, if I get burnt out on stuff, I'll say, "Hey, man, what are you listening to? What's in your iPod, man?" You know, whatever. So get some new inspiration. And most of the stuff that I listen to now is really, really extremely heavy stuff.
Awesome.
Because it seems like a lot of the bands that have more like power metal or, you know, just more old school style vocals don't have that heavy aggressiveness in their guitar and drums that I'm looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
So, I love the heavy, aggressive stuff, man. It's just ass-kicking, dude.
It is. It's awesome. Especially on a 7-string. You can get that little grunge sound.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
Hey, Val, you got a question?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, I totally agree with him.
TV. She wasn't even listening.
That because, you know, the more I listen to music as a DJ, the more I got into the more aggressive and... Yeah, I like that power metal and those leads that I grew up on, you know? Mm-hmm. And I missed that when they took all those leads out of it. And I was striving, looking for stuff. It was like, when I came a DJ, I got into more of that heavy, aggressive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of your, you know, endorsements there. And you're coming out with the PV Amp endorsement now?
Yeah, I am now officially endorsing PV Amps. They saw me play earlier this year at the Wimbash, which is an event that they hold every year at the Anaheim Hilton during the NAMM show. And the guys from PV were there, and I met Dave Ellison, former Megadeth bass player, ultra cool guy. And the guys from PV saw me play, and they friggin' really dug what they saw. And we've been talking ever since January. They started sending me amps to try out. They hooked me up with the 6505 Plus and then the JSX, and they got a brand new amp in their lineup called the the 3120. And it's a raging metal machine, man. And they sent me down to the Toyota Center and had me do a photo shoot with Nickelback's photographer while they were in town. And man, they're getting ready to start running full-page ads and Guitar World, Premier Guitar, and I think Revolver also. And I mean, it's not a signature head, but hey, you know, that's no biggie. This amp is sweet right out of the box, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
I'm pretty excited
about
that. Get
the car magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen. So. You know, I work in a grocery store, and you know, one day I was flipping through, and I was like, "Wow, there's an ad for Rusty." I was like, "People, you know, I know this guy."
Wait, which ad did you see?
Oh gosh, I don't remember.
Gotcha.
But I think it was for was maybe one of the Outworld ones.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like before you were going to have your, like maybe like right when you're getting your signature guitar.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
which
Pro Tone Pedals, did you still endorse them?
What's that, Dean?
Pro Tone Pedals? No, I know you do.
Oh,
Dean's.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. I have my own signature overdrive pedal. It's the Rusty Cooley overdrive pedal, and that was just debuted at NAMM earlier this year as well. It's a sweet little overdrive pedal. It just gives you that little bit of extra when you need it.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely handy for a really cool lead part, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's for. Or if you're in a I don't know where you might be in a club that the acoustics just aren't right or something like that, and it's kind of a little muddy where you're standing or something. You can kick that baby on, add some clarity to your tone, helps it cut through the mix a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps in a couple of areas like that.
Well, that's freaking awesome. I'm glad to hear the thing with the PV, because, you know, PV makes some really good stuff.
Yeah, and man, I got to tell you, PV, these guys are some of the coolest people that I've ever worked with. Ultra supportive, ultra cool, really believe in what I'm doing, and that's what it's really about, finding companies that believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just, you're not just another name on their roster of artists. You know, they believe in you, they know who you are, they talk to you, it's personal, you know, and that's the kind of relationships that I look to have with everybody in the music business that I work with, you know. Otherwise, it's just a front, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's enough of that bullshit going around. I don't need to be part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Just to
I
be hooked
do.
Up with people that don't really care about you.
Exactly.
You know?
There is some out there. I mean, I've talked to some musicians who's been sponsored by certain companies, and I won't say who the companies are, but
sure.
Yeah, and they had some issues, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's more of that than you know it, and that really is in all areas of the music business, whether
mm-hmm.
it comes from labels, management, companies, whatever. So it's important to pick the right people to work with.
Mm-hmm. Read the fine print.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Or get somebody or pay somebody to read that fine print that knows what that fine print means.
Uh-huh. Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hey, let's play All Shall Perish. I know you've done some solo work on that.
Yep,
And we'll play that, and then we'll come back on here and talk for a short, and then we'll let you go because we know, you know, we don't want to keep you too long.
Sweet, sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, All Shall Perish. Check it out. Turn it up. Crank it up.
Yeah.
Rock it. Oh, man, that rocked.
Sweet.
That was like red rum.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Val, we're gonna go in opposite order now. Your turn. Go.
Oh, my God. Why me?
Because you don't know. It's you. I don't know.
Yeah. You're up. Get her done. Come on.
Do I have to get her done? Speaking of all your endorsements, it sounds like you got some awesome companies and stuff that are endorsing you. And I do know that last time we talked, we were talking about an 8-string Dean.
Yes, that is correct.
Any progress on that?
It's still in the works. It's being built as we speak. So I imagine we'll have something to show off at NAMM. I know we'll have it before then, but we probably won't give any sneak peeks out until then.
Is that a solid body neck thing? Oh man, it's awesome. Oh, I love
that. It's going to be an awesome guitar. It's another one of the things, you know, like all the RC7s and the stuff, you know, it's I'm walking it through, you know, making sure that every step of the way, that every little piece of the guitar is done right, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool to be able to do this, you know. And again, now talking about companies that believe in you, man, they're, you know, they're doing exactly, you know, building exactly the way I want it, and that's the way it should be done, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I've worked with companies in the past, not to mention any names, that just weren't interested in doing that, so.
Yeah.
Because you have total say in everything that's been going on with the 7 and the 8, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And the cool thing is we got some new 7 strings coming out. We have the RC7 USA is now going to be available in solid colors without the graphic, and it's going to be available in colors per request. So if, say, somebody said, hey, I'd like to have an RC7 USA, but I want it in purple, well, they would build it for them. So
awesome.
It's going to be an open custom shop to get custom colors.
Yeah, but can you still get the graphic on it, though? Because the graphic's pretty cool.
Well,
yeah, I love
no. If you get a custom color, it won't come with the graphic.
Oh, man. It's
but, you know, either you get the graphic or you get something else, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So, but that's a cool step, because so far the USA 7 had only been available with the graphic, which that's fantastic, but, you know, solid color's cool, get some variety in there, man.
Oh, yeah.
We also have another USA 7 coming out that's going to be an all-mahogany body without any finish. It's going to be what they call a gunstock finish, where they just put an oil on it. So it's going to be very natural looking, and that's going to be an awesome guitar.
Oh, that sounds wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And we got the RC7X, which is the import version of the guitar, which is a cheaper guitar, but it's not cheap, but cheaper.
Yeah.
Instead of $3,000, it's like just $1,000, you know.
Right.
And I just got one of those yesterday. They sent me to check it out, and it's pretty awesome, too. So we got the RC7X imports. We got three versions of the USA. Got an 8-string coming. And we have a DC6. Now, the DC6 is it's not a signature model, but it's based off of the RC7. So we just call it the DC6. And it's more of an entry-level guitar, more of around the $300-$400 range.
So
pretty cool. So
is there a difference in the weight on the on the $1,000 guitar and compared to the $3,000 guitar?
No, not necessarily, because the wood that the guitars are made out of are going to be the same. Now the mahogany one with the gunstock is definitely going to be a heavier guitar.
Oh yeah.
But the import version and the regular USA 7 with the graphic, they're both alder bodies. Maple neck, ebony fingerboard, same pickup, same trim. So the guitar should weigh pretty close to the same thing. I mean, the USA shop might have a higher quality of wood. The wood grade will be higher quality than from the import factory, which is in Korea.
Right.
You know, so that might have something to do with the weight, but it's the same, you know, same wood, alder body, maple neck, ebony board,
etc. The reason I brought that up was because, like, I had a Washburn Dime 333, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had, you know, the Dean version of the Flame-O-Matic.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not believe the difference between the two in weight. I mean, that the Dean's real nice and light, like I like it. It sounds great. It has the great tone. Mm-hmm. And then you grab the Washburn, and it weighs like 2 tons. You know,
the Washburn one is probably made out of mahogany.
Yeah,
it's hard on your back there, Bad Slayer.
Well, it just doesn't sound as good as the other Dean, and that's why, you know.
So you like the tone of the lighter one better?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the lighter one probably cuts better.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit more cut. The heavier one's maybe a little muddier.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And that's what got me, you know, really started on the Deans, because I, you know, my first guitar way back in the day was a 1975 Flying V.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still have that.
Oh, that's cool, dude.
So, I mean, I love Dean. I mean, they're just playable, as you know why.
Yeah.
The company works with you. It's awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely. This is great. This is awesome.
Yeah, man. Get the inside scoop right here.
Oh, man. So you got a whole big product line coming out, which is awesome. This is freaking great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited, man. I couldn't be happier with these guys. They are, you know, they've been friggin' awesome to me. So,
and I just, I want to let everybody know, too, that, you know, I went to the Dean, I go to the Dean site all the time, go into the forum and talk to people different times, you know, and other guitar players. Mm-hmm. And who pops up on the screen? It's Rusty! And it's video. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome!
There you go, man. Some super shred skills. Yeah.
Hey, if you had a tip to tell to a you know, a new guitar player, a young one, what would you tell them? What would be your tip?
It would be a couple of tips in one.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find a good teacher, because that's invaluable what you can learn and how much quicker you can learn if you have a good teacher. And B, you know, you've got to make sure you study your technique, because you have to be able to pull off the things that you hear in your mind. And C, you want to know music theory. This way you understand it, because music theory is understanding how chords, scales, harmony, and melody works.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that, then you understand the music that you're hearing, whether it's the music that you're writing or listening to and want to figure out by other artists. And then, you know, and then you have the chops. You got to have the chops to pull off the music, and then you got to have the theory to understand what it is that you're doing. So music is a language. You got to learn to speak it. So that's some of the most important advice I can give.
Awesome. Awesome advice. Anybody else got a question before we get the shout-out from him and everything?
Well, I was curious. Now, naturally, music is your life, obviously, but when you're not messing with music, do you have any other interests, hobbies, a specific type of books you'd like to read or movies you like to watch or whatever?
Well, I'm very into a couple of things. I mean, right now my big thing is physical fitness, man. I am in the gym 4 to 5 days a week, and I'm totally friggin' building up, man. You got to see the PV ad, dude. My arms are looking seriously sick.
Awesome.
So, and I've got a couple of awesome mentors. You guys ever heard of Lee Labrada?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lee's one of my friends, and he also takes lessons from me. So I work out with Lee. He's like my mentor. He's helping coaching me on weight training, supplements, and diet. And I've got another really good friend that's a nutritional doctor, Dr. Ward Bond. He helps me with that same sort of stuff as well. So I'm really into that right now. If I'm not playing guitar, man, I'm working out.
Awesome.
And then the other stuff is I'm just into positive motivational stuff. You know, I'm always listening to audio books when I'm traveling in my car, you know, to and from teaching or whatever it is I'm doing. You know, love that kind of stuff. Always trying to be positive and think the clearest and get the most out of life and, you know, that sort of stuff. So, and I love UFO hunters, man. Every Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
So, there you go. There's a good plug for the History Channel right there, UFO Hunters. So, me and my wife and kids, we love that stuff, so we're always watching it.
They should send us a check in the mail, I'm telling you.
There you go, man. That's right. Because you heard it right here.
On Hard Rock Radio Live, the Metal Crew.
That's right. So, yeah. So, if I'm not doing music, you know, I love working out and, you know, keeping in shape and all that good stuff. Spending time with my wife and kiddos.
Awesome. Well, hey, we love it, and we've loved the time we've had to talk with you.